There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, when I tell you that it is the fastest selling non-fiction book of all time, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, it's Prince Harry's new book out this week called Spare. And with the book in mind, we gave a task to two wonderful women to read the book for us. You know her well from Academy Books. She's our book reviewer on Late Lunch. Irene Gahan has read it. She's with us. And I'm also joined by the wonderful Sheila Bailey, who is former CEO of the Ireland Fund of Great Britain, free woman of the City of London, horse racing enthusiast, and has worked closely with the royal family from time to time. Ladies, you're welcome to the show. Thank you both for joining me this afternoon. Sheila, if I could begin with yourself. Well, you've read it cover to cover, yes?
Most of it. Most
right.
of it. Not quite there yet.
Nearly.
Nearly, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What do you make of it?
Never had so much been written about so little.
Oh.
Frankly.
Oh.
I think I've completely had an about-turn view on all of this. I, as I said to Louise, I'm almost embarrassed to admit I have watched all the programmes, all the documentaries, all the interviews. But, you know, what does it all add up to? A disgruntled young man who's, let's face it, not terribly bright, married to someone who is from such a different cultural background to his. He's left home. He's unhappy about lots of things, and he just keeps going on and on and on about it, and none of it's changing anything.
Mm.
It's not changing it for him. It's not changing it for his own wife. It's very possibly changing the royal family and how they run their households and how they manage things. But for somebody who says, this is about the man I've become and not the prince I was born, it's not really. It's all about the prince he was born and the fact that he is the additional one and doesn't have the top billing.
Yes.
So it's and I was reminded of a great phrase by that great Irishman, Jonathan Swift, when he said, "Censure is the tax a man pays to the public for being eminent." And, you know, he didn't have any option, I admit that, but to take the life that he was handed. But if he wanted to change it, he had the opportunity to do that. Other members of Europe's royal family have given up their titles, gone to live in America, married a banker, live in Miami. Nobody knows who they are. They get on with it. Mm. He possibly couldn't have been quite so anonymous, but he's kept his title, and his entire reason for living seems to be to repeat the same hurts and wounds over and over again.
And
that is not making you a better person.
Yes, and Sheila, do you think bridges have been burned now that will never be mended?
Never. There's no coming back from this.
Mm.
I mean, he's had a go at absolutely everybody. There's no way you could come back from this. And I think the fact that King Charles, I always want to call him Prince Charles, King Charles continues to be a very, very genuinely kind in his comments. I think he's hurt, but he's not going to offer anything else up. It is business as usual for them. But I don't think they can ever come back. And you know, there's something that I was thinking as I face imminent grannyhood next month. Harry and Meghan's kids are growing up with all of this endless repetition of every wrong that was ever done to them. And that's what they're listening to. That's not good for any child. Children learn by example. And I mean, to be a leader, and Harry's always talking about leading change and making the world a better place, not sure you do it by trashing your family 7 days a week.
Mm. Stay there, Sheila. I want to bring Irene Gahan into the conversation, our late lunch book club reviewer of late and owner of Academy Books and voracious reader, and has had this book and been stuck in it for the last couple of days again on our behalf. Thank you, Irene. Irene, give us your general impressions, please, from your perspective.
I want to talk about the book rather than the person. I know that sounds... I think we have to separate Harry in some ways. You know, it is non-fiction, it is his book, it's what he perceives his truth to be. The book itself is, I mean, it has outsold, and I think there is an element of car crash, you know, that kind of voyeurism and whatever. I mean, we've had The Crown, we've had all the other biographies, we've had everything. But I mean, this, the book itself is quite interesting in terms of reading it from the point of view of he is a normal, in one sense, he's a normal guy dealing with emotions, but he's come from extraordinary circumstances, and he's in extraordinary circumstances. And I know it's kind of it kind of sounds a bit very, very odd. But I think there's so much, the British media have literally gone to town. I mean, some of the stuff that's in it, they've gone to town on their characters. And yeah, everyone can have an opinion, but this is exactly what he was fighting against. They've gone to town, they've taken sound bites, they have, you know, they've gone to town on these two individuals. But we never really knew about him, his life, his things, you know, things he did. And I wouldn't necessarily say he wasn't a bright individual, because obviously he's a pilot. I mean, he learned to fly. It's not easy to learn to fly, I know. So it's not an easy thing. So he must have some intelligence, and he has had, from a book point of view, what I loved about the book was there are things in there that we never knew. I mean, even the things where, you know, and I know the book gives those all these little anecdotes and little things that we would have only seen sort of headlines for. And the headlines in the British media have very much always taken Harry is, you know, Will's good, Harry's bad. And they've always taken this approach to it. But when you actually read the book, you know, there's very sad parts to it. And there's very kind of joyful parts. But he was always very aware, I think, in the book, that he was always second. And Will, you know, when William, he could do stuff that William couldn't do, and he could get away. And you see that little kind of, I think in the book, you see that kind of mischievous kind of character, you know, that he's probably more like his mother, if that makes sense.
Yes, and you know,
you see his character coming through. I think you see his character.
Okay.
You see his circumstances, and the book is about it. It's, you know, everyone's truth is different, and everyone's perception of it is different. And I liked reading it, and I liked the anecdotes. I liked the little bits and pieces in it that gave you more of an idea from behind behind the inverted commas, the headline. Does that make sense?
But you heard Sheila there saying, you know, raking over the coals again, bringing up lots of things, you know, even though you're right, it's been selective, some of the quotes from it and the passages taken from it. But would the book have been the same had that not been included? Was it necessary to do that?
Like, I'm enjoying the book. I enjoyed it all week. I dipped in, I dipped out all week. I've read nearly all of it. I'm not a royalist in any way. Mm. I would have had a soft spot for Harry always had a soft spot for Harry, just because he seemed to be able to go and do the things that he kind of wanted to do and could kind of get away with. My opinion is really on the book and the writing of the book. And I think the book gives you a little bit more about him and his character. And he does come across as very kind. Yes, he's going over things that everyone has seen, but we have only ever got the headlines before. And the British media have literally just taken him. Like, I don't think there's anybody who's saying any particularly nice things about him. But I actually think, as a book, as a memoir, it's very, very interesting. And it does actually give you an insight into what he's gone through. And I think I'm looking at it from the book's perspective. Does that make sense?
Mm. And
it's a great read.
And that's why we have you here, because of your interest in books. And you're just, as I said, a voracious reader of all types of books. And he does, you mentioned the press there. You know, he's not impressed at all with the Telegraph's royal correspondent, our own Rebecca Brooks. He calls her rehabber Kooks in a play on her name in the book as well. You know, not impressed at all in that area. Let's bring Sheila back in. Sheila, you hear what Irene has to say there from her perspective and her read of it?
I do. Just to lighten the tone a little bit, one of the reasons I was at home earlier this week was to go to the official launch of The Mystery of Four, written by my friend Sam Blake.
Mm.
She was knocked off the number one spot by Harry's book. Just to go back to that, Harry only attacks the tabloid media. The British media adored Harry. Harry could do no wrong. Meghan could do no wrong. Her accusations of racism, there was little evidence of that. She is the only one who talks about racism. I remember her first public outing at Royal Ascot, and we were sitting having our lunch, when suddenly people started running. I mean, I thought there was a fire or something dreadful had happened. And people ran to see Meghan. She rode in the first coach with the Queen. And as they emerged, the Queen stood back and let Meghan have centre stage. Quite frankly, she was adored. Everybody loved her. Nobody had any issue with racism. Actually, to be honest, nobody even noticed that there was an issue. As with most people, she carried it off. That wasn't the case.
So what happened, Sheila? What happened? Where did it go wrong? Can you take anything from the book?
Because the bit that, and I don't think. I think this is probably the issue. Harry was born into that. He was born into the establishment, and his mother was establishment. She might have played the media game, but she was part of the establishment. I think she would hate what's going on. Meghan married into a family and a culture she didn't understand, didn't like, and she put her own needs first. You don't do that in the royal family. There is a pecking order. There are households. That's the way it works. And if you think of the whole idea of the spare, who was the greatest, most difficult, most awkward, most badly done by spare in the British royal family? It was Princess Anne, because she was always going to be the biggest spare, because at the time she was a woman. So even if anything had happened, she would never have taken the throne. And she grumbled and she whinged and she moaned for quite a few years and she threw tantrums. But she knuckled down and she got on with her own life, and she made a life that is essentially quite private. She lives most of the time in Gloucestershire when she's not on official business, and she gets on with it. The Queen, you know, the woman was one of the wisest people we had in this country. There's no half in and half out.
Yeah.
You're in or you're out.
Yes.
And he couldn't accept that.
I have to ask.
Go on. I think he'll never be forgiven for what he's done. And when you talk about being a feminist, and he talks a great deal about his views and his feminism, he's attacked everybody. He's attacked Camilla. Look at the way he laughed about the matron at school. That was mean and nasty.
Mm.
You know, they're just. I'm sorry, the great feminist laugh doesn't. With me at all.
Sheila, you being involved with the equine industry over there, when I mentioned three names, Catherine O'Mahony, Susanna Harvey, or Emma Tomlinson, who is it, Sheila? You know what I'm getting at?
The Tomlinsons are a very, very famous polo playing family in Gloucestershire. And they would all have been. They would all have been friends for years. Well, they would have operated in the same area.
Yes.
They would all have played polo in the same
club.
It's just down the road from Highgrove.
These are the women that have been speculated that was, you know, his first love or whatever. But anyway, I'm only throwing them into the conversation for a bit of lightness, really. It hasn't come out. There's a lot of speculation, isn't there? There is.
There's always speculation about these things. And again, it's years down the line.
Yes.
And these people all have families.
True.
And, you know, the Thomas people know exactly what went on.
Yes.
There's no point talking about
it. No, and I just throw it in for an aside to what we're talking to today. Look, I have to leave it there. Irene, before we go, is it walking out of the shop?
Oh, we are. We've sold out completely. We've got four more in today. And we had those orders were already booked
yes.
from Tuesday. I think it'll still, you know, we're waiting to see if we actually can get any more copies because there's not very many. I mean, there's literally no copies to be
yes.
had for love
yes.
nor money in most of the country.
Yeah, it just shows you.
I think that is the interest in
yes,
you know,
in the
I
book.
I suppose the interest in the person as much as anything
yes,
else.
Yes, and the person, as you say, as well. It really is interesting to get the two different perspectives on the book. I thank you both for reading it on our behalf and for joining me on the show today. Really appreciated by us here on Late Lunch. Sheila Bailey and Irene Gahan, thank you so much for joining me.
Cheers.
Thanks, Gary.
Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Great! I love TV.
We watch TV.
TV Themes with Gerry Kelly on The Late Lunch.
Remember that TV movie we saw?
Memories, it brings them back to this kid. Anyway, the TV theme this Friday afternoon, I have a lovely prize for one of you. What is the name of the TV show that theme song comes from? Answers please to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. I'll be interested to see how many of you get that one. It's a challenge indeed, but I smile when I hear it. Yes, from my childhood, not today or yesterday. Talking about young people, well, the studio is full of them at the moment because, you see, we're going to talk about something quite different for the next while. I don't know what's in the water in St. Mary's Diocesan School in Drogheda, but by God, it works. That's all I'll say. Roisin Curtis is here, fabulous teacher, and she's joined today by Paul Galvin, Max Lennon, Brandon Monaghan and James Bellew. You're all very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. It's great to have you
Thanks
with us.
For having us.
Not at all. Roisin, tell us what you've come up with in this wonderful school at the start of a new year with these young men.
Well, it's not necessarily that I came up with, because we got a professional in to do it. But obviously, you know yourself, over the years talking to me as TY coordinator, I'm always looking for new things to bring into the programme and different things to try out with the boys. And I kind of said, do you know what? It's January. We all have New Year's resolutions. Why not start the year off with a few intentions and do a bit of self-care? Number one, because it's important for our mental health. And number two, because obviously skincare for boys isn't something that's necessarily taught in schools. So we got a professional makeup artist in, Amanda McCarthy. We had her in earlier on in the year for a special effects workshop. She actually does skincare and grooming workshops. So she came in last week and the boys all learned about how to clean their skin properly and how to make all organic face masks using stuff they'd find around the home. And I think somebody, I think Louise was maybe snooping on the Facebook page, our school Facebook page, Humans of St. Mary's, and came across some of the pictures and thought it was quite different. So give us a shout to come in and talk about it.
Yes, so. And it is quite different. And when you mention young fellas and skincare, you know, we're in 2023 now. You'd expect that young men are looking more at their image and how they look, yes?
Yeah, and I think in general they are. But I know myself, I have nieces and nephews, and it would be my nieces who are more into, if they come for a sleepover in mine, they're putting on the face mask and they look forward to that, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas the nephews don't necessarily fall for that. But you'd be surprised. I think the boys here taste it more than they put on their face at some stage. But yeah, I think we've converted them all. Maybe they'll give a bit of an insight
into it.
They're
going to now, but I have to tell you, there's porridge oats on the table here. There's honey on the table here. So it's using all, you know, you're talking about foodstuffs there, stuff
yeah,
that we generally
yeah,
consume.
All natural, you
all
know,
natural
yeah,
to go
that
on the face.
Can be found around the home, and there's great properties in it. Now, you don't know this yet, but the reason we have the porridge and the honey is because James there is going to make up a face mask, and we're going to apply it on you today and now during this interview.
Hold
so you
on.
Can get a bit of feedback on what the boys went through themselves.
Hold on a minute. I know nothing about this.
Well, listen,
did
if you want
to... Did you tell Louise Walsh about
skin,
this, did you?
Well, you know, I might have got a wee bit of a suggestion there from Louise, but the boys were looking forward to it. So James there is mixing it up as we speak. It has oats in it and some honey. And again, I think he may have done a bit of a taste test there, but we're going to apply some of it there now at this moment in time while we're talking.
I've never had it. Hold on a second. I want to talk to the boys and then we'll do it. No, I will do it. Yeah. I've never had a face mask. There you go, in all my time. Let me bring some of the lads into the conversation. Paul? Yes? Max. Max Lennon. Max, tell us about this whole concept and what's happened in the last week. What do you make of it yourself?
I think it was very good because we're not usually taught about our skincare and we don't usually take care of it. Mm. But to have someone come in as a professional like Amanda, she done really well with it and she used all natural ingredients and stuff to make a face mask for us. And that's easy to do at home. You don't need to go out and buy everything. Not expensive at all. And it can help clear your skin and acne, and it can be used whenever you want, just for a couple of minutes, and you wipe it off and it's gone.
Do you use anything, or have you been using anything yourself before she came in and taught you, Amanda? What do you do
before
typically?
She came in, I may have just used a bit of moisturiser after the shower.
Yes.
But not the certain product. She gave us products that we should be using. You could just buy a random one.
Yeah.
But instead, we've been using, she gave us ideas like rose water to use, bulldog products, which are all very good for the skin for young people, which you can use for the rest of your life then.
Mm, and these are all natural products.
Yeah.
They don't come bottled up or under a brand name or anything like that. You'll find it in your home, in your yeah. kitchen, in your cupboards or whatever.
You can make it if you want, or they do sell them in pharmacies
yeah.
and shops.
Such yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting. Paul Galvin, hello. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. What about you and this? Had you any misgivings when Roisin Curtis, your teacher, said, we're going to give this a crack for the new year? What did you think?
Well, like, it's unusual for lads to be doing skincare, to be fair. Like, people our age normally focus on stuff like that, but obviously, new year, new me, new us, so I decided, like, open mind to it. And that's, like, TY this year has been a lot about open mind and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, I had an open mind because a lot of lads our age would be playing sport and be more prone to bad skin. And, like, we don't really get taught about the skincare as much as the girls would do. We wouldn't be as interested, even though we're more prone to bad skin than them.
Mm. So for boys in general of your age, TY, etc., this isn't the thing as such, no?
No, obviously there'd be the basics, like make sure to wash your face before every night, but the stuff Amanda was saying, like especially the rose water, like I've never heard of this before because I've never like looked into it or I've never been told about it. So to have someone actually come in and only talk about this and like for us to be the main focus of it is really good. Like,
You're looking good already. I'm looking around the table. I think it's having the desired effect. Hop into that microphone there, Brandon Monaghan, till I have a quick word with you. Come on, just swap places there for a second. And over you come, James as well. James Belly's going to hop in there because we have four of the boys here. Represent. How many's in your group or in your class? How many's in TY roughly?
Usually it's about 24.
Yeah, okay. It's 96 altogether. Four classes of transition year this year. Yeah.
Yeah, so these guys have 20 odd in there. And is this across all the classes this is happening or just these guys?
Yeah, all four classes did it. So all 96 lads did it over the last week. Got a 2-hour workshop in it. And yeah, as I said, all tried it, all tasted it. James here is a big fan of the honey and the oats, you know. But yeah, no, all tried it and all got stuck in, which was great to see.
Brandon, what's the reaction of your friends to this, to your female friends? What did the girls say about the boys putting honey and porridge on their face?
Oh, sure. I don't think they took us very seriously at the time.
Did they not?
No.
No.
Sure. Even putting it on yourself, you kind of doubting it nearly, like,
yes,
you know, is we really doing it or is it just for a bit of a joke? But
so how long have you been doing this? How many days?
Well,
since she's came back. Was this early on in the new term? Yeah, this is just started. You're about a week, would you? A week or so on. Yeah. And are you following it now? Are you doing what, you know, when Amanda came in and showed you and talked to you, are you doing this every day now?
Oh, well, I mean, maybe not every day. But
Okay. But you are doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and what do you feel about it? What do you feel about this?
It's definitely the information was definitely substantial to us. It's, you know, really does help. But you know, like Paul said before, boys like our age don't really get taught maybe stuff about this because of, you know,
yes,
it's usually like something that we don't usually.
Stereotypes, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you know, it is a female thing. And, you know, these barriers and stereotypes have been broken down all the time now.
Yeah.
Don't to tell you that. And it's good that it is. It's not one or the other as such. The honey man is with me here, James. James Bellew has been mixing away here a moment ago, the honey and the flakes as well. The one big advantage is, I think, as well, if you're getting an old snog or that, you'd taste nice, wouldn't you, James?
Yeah.
You'd be sweet, like.
Well, even we did a lip scrub as well, was another one, as well as the face masks that we had with brown sugar and coconut oil.
Okay.
And that was for, like, moisturising your lips and everything, so that was good as well.
So on the lips, on the cheeks, on the neck, all over as well. When you look at the, you know, proprietary products, brands I'm talking about here, aftershave, balm, care, all that type of stuff, would you be tempted to go this road entirely? You know, would it encourage you to?
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, it's really simplistic and you've got it already at home. And, you know, I suppose it's a lot cheaper as well than buying the products in the little tubs that they come in.
Yeah, true. And, you know, it is a thing for boys in that as well. We just sort of, our complexion, we didn't really bother, did we, about it in the past?
No, not
at all, you know. But this is quite a different take on it. So have you this thing mixed up? Have I really to do this?
Yes.
Who's going to apply it?
Well, we'll get James to stick it on there.
Come over here, stick it on. Hop back into that seat there, young man.
The idea was that you mix up oats and organic honey and mix it all into a paste and then spread it onto the onto the face and leave it for about 6 minutes.
So where are you going to put this in me face? Where are you going to put it? Come ahead. Okay, just mind me headphones there because I won't hear them. Come on.
So you want to get this nearly all over your face there, really.
Yeah, go on.
So we get your cheeks here first.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'd say if you spread it on with your fingers, it might be better, James. But yeah, he's putting it on your face now currently.
Don't worry, it can drop anywhere, right?
There we go, on your chin.
And you'll be looking years younger now.
Come on.
There we go.
What is this like? I'll tell you one thing, Louise Walsh is after...
I think he's getting more of it on the floor than he is.
Louise Walsh is after arriving into studio here, and I'll tell you what.
Well,
I don't owe you one, two, three or four after this.
Now, when the boys were getting this done, like obviously they were putting it on themselves, but at the end of it, they were nearly waiting for her to turn around and say,
"Hold on,
that this is just one big prank we've been playing on you."
Oh, Jesus, lovely.
So you're tasting it.
I'm tasting it. It's absolutely gorgeous. So it's gorgeous for sure. But this is it. So this that I have on here is honey and... porridge oats.
Yes, and it's very good for calming the skin.
See the sweat? See it dropping off me there with the heat in the studio. Look, it's crumbling as I speak. How long should you leave this on for?
So 6 to 10 minutes. The boys left it on for 6 minutes the other day, and it's basically a gentle exfoliant as well as calming the skin as well, you know.
Yes.
So again, all natural products. Mightn't feel the best when it's on, but hopefully when you take it off, it'll feel, you know,
I'll be just 10 times rejuvenated.
Yeah, they won't recognise you now.
They won't recognise me in the minute as I look like this. But like, you know, as part of, you know, what you do up there, and you break new ground all the time. I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. You really do
in the school. You are people who, you know, think outside the box, do things outside the box and that as well.
Thank you.
And this is just another example of that as well. Tell me about, in general terms, about the way a lot of schools now are changing to boys and girls schools. Is that on your agenda up there?
I don't know. It's not something that we've heard, I'm sure. Maybe down the road it'll eventually come in, but no, there's no talk of it as of yet.
It's hard
to take you seriously when you're a chunk of porridge hanging
I will remember this day. And I can tell you, Louise Walsh will remember. I repeat myself here. She's going to remember this day for a long time too. But by extension, is this it? Have they... Do you feel now, boys, that you have the nuts and bolts of this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's really good to know about it. Like, obviously, we've never been taught about stuff like this, but it was mad. Like, obviously, when they were saying honey and oats and your...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Face, I hadn't. I was like, this has to be a joke. But I went home and I even said this to my mom, and she's heard of it as well. Like, it's crazy how we've never heard of this stuff. Like, it's never been told to us, but to be told it is really good. Like,
yeah, the natural product.
And even the big thing, even rose water. You know, we had a parent teach meeting last night. It was for second years, but there was a lot of TY parents at it who have obviously kids in second year who were saying to me, "Oh, he's reading the press now, looking for the rose water," and you know, that they're going out to buy it, which is nice, because honestly, like, the biggest thing for me when I booked this, apart from Amanda is amazing, Amanda McCarthy, she's a professional makeup artist and she has a Facebook page under her name. She did a special effects workshop with us at Halloween. So the boys were learning how to do bruises and cuts and all that, and they were really engaged in it. And I kind of said, when she said about the skincare, I thought, you know what, we need something like that, because mental health wise it's great. You take those 5 minutes for yourself, whether it's putting on a face mask or, you know, doing something nice like that, really makes a difference. And I think it's important, especially in young boys. You know, we were always talking about mental health awareness within the school, so it is important that we give them tools of how to give back to themselves and prioritise themselves. And even if that's all they take from the workshop that they did this week, that take those 5 minutes every day for yourself.
It helps them.
You know?
Is the rose water a moisturiser or a cleanser?
Rose water is kind of like a cleanser, but it does everything. And it's really, she said, if there's only one thing you buy, go with that, because it will clear spots and blackheads and... you know, it calms the skin and it's a toner as well. So honestly, that's the way to go. I think the most of them are putting that in the shop.
And the honey and the oats that I have on adds moisture to the skin, replenishes the skin, revitalizes,
and it's an exfoliant too. Exfoliate the skin without being too harsh. You know, you won't get any reaction to that.
And when you're finished with the mask, you can eat it.
Well, there you go.
That's the great benefit of it as well.
You can mask
all in one, no excuses at all. Anyway, look, I wish you well. Thank you all for joining me in the studio today. I'm sure you'll be back with something else to amaze us in the future. But it's all there in your cupboard. And just, you can check them out on this. What's the Facebook page again?
So our Facebook page is Humans of St. Mary's Day Austin School. Yeah.
There you go. Well, for the moment, Roisin Curtis, Paul Galvin, Max Lennon, Brandon Monaghan and James Bellew, thank you for adorning my face with this lovely face mask. Thank you for dropping in. Take care.
Thank you.
At this time of year, and we've been talking about it quite a bit since we came back, you know, people making commitments to do new things in the new year and making a pledge that they'll take up something. And that's the emphasis today, really, to take up something rather than perhaps giving up. And with that in mind, my next guest, I spoke to her in the past about Lingo Tot in relation to children, but she's certainly expanding and spreading her wings. I'm delighted to welcome into studio on Late Lunch, Elena Calavia. Elena, good to see you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and apologies for my croaky voice. The weather doesn't agree with me in this country, I tell you.
You see, Spain, Ireland at this time of the year, there's such a difference, isn't there?
Absolutely. But I love Ireland as well, as you know.
How long are you here?
I'm here over 22 years, Jerry. Long time.
A long time. And of course, Spanish is your native tongue. What other languages do you speak?
Absolutely. I speak French as well. I went to a French school from age 5 to age 18. I did French Living Cert and everything else in Spain. So I know firsthand how useful it is to learn languages from very young age. I have pupils age 2 that are learning very, very quickly in a toddler class. I have little older kids as well up to age 5. I have primary school children who love it from day one. We do lots of activities. We sing, hence my voice. We sing, play, learn, teach, read stories, all in Spanish, all from day one. So it's super fun.
So what you say there, this is interesting. The earlier you introduce a child to a different language, and of course you have English as well, so you have three languages, the better.
Absolutely. The brain's child doesn't discriminate between languages until age 7. So the sooner you learn, for children is the same, to learn English or French or Japanese. They don't make a difference in their brain. They learn as quickly as their mother tongue, as other languages as well. So the sooner the better. As I say, I have young children that are learning very, very quickly at the moment, yeah.
Are we not at a loss in Ireland? And I don't mean to be disrespectful at all to Irish, our native tongue, which is a wonderful language, but that's from the word go in school, the English language that we speak. Should we not be teaching a modern European language to children at school from the youngest age?
Absolutely. In other countries all over the world, children start from preschool and primary school, and I'm very happy that the Minister Norma Foley is going to be reintroducing, because they were taught in the past, modern languages in primary schools in the near future. We don't have an exact date yet, but that's the intention. At the moment, there is a pilot scheme I'm also involved in a number of primary schools in the area, whereby I would go for 8 weeks for an hour per class to introduce Spanish.
Yes.
And it's working very well. I have 8 schools this term, this year actually, in East Meath and Drogheda as well. And the children have great, great fun. And then they get an interest for the language, and then they might enroll in other classes afterwards.
So through Lingo Tot, this is what you've been doing primarily. But as I said, you are now broadening your horizons, and it brings into play people of all ages. Is it ever too late to take up a language?
Absolutely not. A lot of studies have shown that learning a language when you're a little bit older improves your cognitive resilience. So in the future, when you're even older, you are less likely to get things like Alzheimer's disease, for example. So I would encourage anybody who has an interest in learning a language to go and take it up, because we are very good at taking, you know, having resolutions at the start of the year, but more or less around this time in the middle of January we all seem to forget about resolutions, including myself, I must admit. So it's the right time to learn a language, and you don't have to learn the conditional tense, you don't have to worry about the intricacies of grammar. You can learn in a conversational class, in a fun class with other people like you, having a glass of wine or having a glass of water. Alcohol doesn't need to be involved at all.
Yes.
We have an informal class as well, a Spanish one, in the evenings in a Divine restaurant in Drogheda, and thanks to them for allowing me to offer my class there. And we have loads of fun. I mean, we introduce things like how to order food, how to follow directions in Spanish, or God forbid if I have an emergency, how to get by in a hospital, for example. Practical, everyday language. None of the boring stuff.
I like that. I have to say, I really like that. I think that's terrific that you do that. The one thing I know about, and I remember back to my school days, was an embarrassment of, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Getting up in front of people and making an ass of yourself. Do you know what I'm talking about? How do you, reassure me and others that's not the case?
Absolutely. I think we all can make mistakes. I made mistakes in English, and I've been speaking English for 30 odd years, and I'm not bothered. I mean, that's the way to learn new things. And people are not worried when you travel to another country if you don't use the right word. Mm. Once you get by and you make an effort, it's a way of showing your respect for another country.
Yes.
And another culture and another people. I think a lot of the recent problems we're having in Europe is because people don't seem to think about other people and other cultures and, try to understand other people's lives.
That's very true. And we're big fans of Italy, and it's something that I'm at a loss, to be honest with you, that I would love to have a few phrases that I could use when I go there.
Absolutely. Well, you're in luck, because I'm actually recruiting at the moment. I'm recruiting more languages. So as soon as I have an Italian teacher, I'll be ringing you, Jerry.
I would love you to do that, because I'll take that up. I've been talking about it for years, but I'd be delighted to take that up and give it a go and see where it would actually take me. The other thing is to mention today, you're in the corporate sphere as well.
Yes. I've been partnering with SkillsNet in Louth, and they are very happy to contribute to 20% of any classes I give to corporates for their employees. So I'm planning on doing that maybe a little bit later in the year, towards maybe April or so. So there are many companies that think about activities such as yoga or any other activities for their employees as part of their social clubs, which are fantastic. But I also like corporates to think about wellness in the sense of, let's do something else together. Maybe let's gather the whole team, from CEO to the person that answers the phone, to get them to know each other in a different setting without worrying about titles and all that. Let's get away from the office for half a day and talk about another language and culture, you know, maybe sample a little bit of food at lunchtime. Just think about a day in the life of a Spanish person. How is it very different to a day in the life of an Irish person, for example? Yes. You know, why do we eat at such crazy times? You know, why do we eat certain things and not other things? You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
The infamous siesta, which no longer exists, by the way, unless you're on holidays. But anyway, I'll talk about that another day.
In terms of languages, in your experience, which is easier to learn, Spanish or French, the two you specialise in?
Spanish. French grammar is much more complicated than Spanish, absolutely.
And where does Italian stand? Is it more difficult than both of those?
It's one of my resolutions, actually, to learn Italian. I don't speak it yet, but
my mother
used to speak it, and she spoke a number of languages, and she definitely thought that it was very much more difficult than French or Spanish.
Yes. So
and I trust her.
So Spanish is the one you specialise in, and it's a lovely introduction. Come back to the adult classes that you're doing. You mentioned Divine Restaurant in Drogheda. People listening today would love to explore this with you, to explore French or Spanish. Where else? What's your plan?
Yeah, at the moment, I'll be starting that class within the next couple of weeks, depending on demand in Divine. But I also teach children after school. And I also teach them in the community. I'll be starting tomorrow toddlers and children up to 5 with their parents in St. Fecans, in Terma Fecan GAA Club. And it's a great fun class because the parents learn with their children. We do music, we do games, we do puppets, we do all sorts of things. And it's great fun as well. And I'll be expanding into other schools as well.
And if people listening today wanted to drop along tomorrow to St. Fecans, what time are you there at?
I will be there at 10:30.
In the morning.
Yeah, I have a big room. So if there's anybody interested in maybe having a little go, you're more than welcome to join us.
So they can just walk in tomorrow and take it from there.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
It must be great to be able to go to France, go to Spain, come back home here to Ireland or other English-speaking countries and go and just, you know, assimilate with the language. It's special. It must be for you even.
I always love languages, and I think it definitely opens our mind to other experiences and other cultures and other lives, because we don't all lead the same lives. And if we don't have a curiosity to learn about other people, it'd be a very boring world we live in, I think, you know. And I love traveling as well. So when you travel and make an effort, I'm sure you see the reaction in people when you go to Italy. If you make a little effort, they will welcome you.
We have the few words, you know, thank you, goodbye, and things like that, and they even do appreciate it. I know what you're saying. When we come back to the education system and the way children, and I remember the way I was taught French, I did Latin and French and English in my time at school, and a lot of it, the French especially, was taught by rote, if you know what I mean. The way you do it is different. Will you take to a language much better by going your road than rather the strict academic? You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are reasons why sometimes we need to learn grammar for any language.
Yes.
And there are reasons why to learn a language properly, you have to go to formal classes to do certain exams, maybe for your career progression or for academic reasons. I mean, there is a place for that. But I think what we have forgotten is to have fun when we learn languages. I think fun is essential. And there is another way of learning languages. If you're not interested in negotiating a contract in French, for example, if you're just interested in traveling and getting by with some basic high frequency wording, there is a place for that. And that's what I'm trying to encourage in this area, that don't be afraid of learning a new language. Have fun, have a drink, meet other people that are in the same boat as you, have a laugh. And that's all, really. Not everybody is going to be bilingual. It doesn't matter. Once you have a little bit of an interest, you will have fun learning. And the kids is the same. Some of them might be more you know, might be engineers or might be doing something else, you know. But there is no harm in having a little bit of fun. You
what
know?
About accents and dialects and regions? You know the way it works. Absolutely. Here in Ireland as well. Yeah, we all speak English, but at times if you went south in the country or west, you'd be straining to actually understand what people are saying. If you have a general grasp like you give, will that get you by no matter where you go regionally in France or Spain or wherever?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, when people from other countries see people making an effort, that it's absolutely fine. I mean, I have to admit, when I moved to Ireland in 1998, the Northern Irish accent was a challenge for me, and sometimes continues to be a challenge because I know there are loads of different Northern Irish accents, but no, absolutely, absolutely. That's the beauty of language, I think, in every region or in every parish. Even sometimes you speak slightly different, or you have different words, or you use them in a different way, but absolutely. The best Spanish, by the way, is in the center of Spain. If anybody's looking for the best Spanish in Spain, is in Salamanca, university town, beautiful, historic, fabulous place to go. That's the purest Spanish.
Of pure, if you're going that route.
Yeah.
So how do you say, let's do this to sign off in two languages for me today. Will you say to the listeners, thank you for listening to us on the show today, and say goodbye? Do that in French first, please.
Yeah. Merci beaucoup de nous avoir entendu et en Spanish as well. Que paséis un fin de semana muy bueno y muchas gracias por habernos escuchado. Gracias.
Thank you so much for giving us the French and Spanish sign off there. And I will finish in English. Come back to me on that Italian, won't you, please? Thank you so much, Elena Calavia, for joining me today. Lingo Tot, check her out. Divine and the Feckins, all coming your way. Enjoyment in learning languages. It's been great to meet you in person today, and I wish you well.
Thank you very much, Jerry, for having me. Thank you.
Let's reprise our TV theme. From my childhood, that is the theme song from Mr. Ben. It was a huge TV show on the BBC many moons ago, and well done to you all who got it right. I was amazed at the number of people who did. Jer Curran, the prize is yours this afternoon for guessing correctly there, and we will bring you another TV theme this day week, please God. Want to wish a big happy birthday to Anne Bird, my badminton partner of many moons ago. She's a big birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Anne. That comes in from Paddy, your children and all the grandchildren too. Have a great, great day. And I'll tell you, she could still smash a shuttlecock, I'm sure. And she certainly has a dead-eye dick for the putting greens in pitch and putt. That is certain. Great sportswoman, wonderful woman. Happy birthday, Anne. Now it's time for this on Late Lunch.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Counting down the top 5 songs from this week of yesteryear. And today it's
the number 1 this week in 2003. At 5 was One True Voice. Number 4, Daniel Bedingfield. 3, Eminem. Yesterday at number 2, Louise's favourite song of all time, The Cheeky Girls. But today, it's the Christmas number 1 from the year before. That's late 2002. It made number 1 Christmas time. Big Christmas number 1. And stayed at number 1 for 4 weeks into the new year. So it had been at number 1 this very week 20 years ago. It came from Pop Stars, The Rivals, that TV show that preceded X Factor, and it was the girls group who had the hit with it, and of course the girls were Girls Aloud. Big, big one it was for them, put them on the map, got them going, and well, the rest is history. Here it is, your number 1 in the top 5 countdown this week, 2003. It's The Sound of the Underground. Girls Aloud, number one this week, 20 years ago on your top five countdown on Late Lunch. That song was actually offered to Samantha Mumba, who didn't take it, didn't take the option on it to record it. But they are a massive number one for Girls Aloud, and we'll bring you another top five countdown from some year in the past next week on Late Lunch. Final break of the week on the way, and afterwards, as is our wont each Friday, David Sheehan's joining us to talk sport. It's GAA and soccer for David Sheehan this afternoon to run the rule over. Well, we thought we'd be talking about the O'Byrne Cup semi-final between Louth and Offaly, but as you've been hearing on LMFM here through the day, the game will not now be played. David Sheehan, welcome to Late Lunch.
How are you, Jerry?
Well, the O'Byrne Cup, nobody wants to play in it, David.
No, and no one was thinking of LMFM Sunday Sport where they call that game off now of an hour and a half of a gap to fill in my show, but we'll worry about that in the next couple of days. Yeah, it's become a bit of a farce. I mean, like, look, at the fact of it is Louth started all this themselves at the beginning of the week when they refused, or not refused, but they decided not to go down to Wexford and to have that game, to give a walkover to Wexford. I know there was talk, I was speaking to a couple of people on Sunday night, there was talk that maybe that game would have been played in Abbottstown, I think. There was a possibility of playing it in your neutral ground to save on a bit of travel for some people, but that didn't happen. That game was gone, and I think, you know, Leinster GAA themselves this week said that they had no sanctions in place for teams giving walkovers, and that they're going to look at that now. But I think that was the first domino that fell on Monday, and then we saw the Kildare Westmeath game was called off because it's supposedly of a waterlogged pitch. Then Laois Carlow went by the wayside. That was supposed to be played this weekend. I think everybody knew it wouldn't be, and it's not going to be played this weekend. And then Liam Kearns, obviously very angry on Wednesday night after Offaly's win over Dublin and Parnell Park, maintained that the integrity of the competition was shot, that Offaly were playing Saturday, Wednesday, and going to be playing again this Sunday. Louth obviously had the week free because they didn't go down to Wexford. So he was annoyed about it, and I think that was the first hint that maybe Offaly weren't going to fulfil this fixture on Sunday, and that's what happened. They released that statement around about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and yeah, that game is gone. So Louth, on the plus side, straight into an O'Byrne Cup final now. They'll play Longford next weekend, assuming that no one else withdraws. But yeah, it's not great at all, Jerry, and it's given the GAA and the Leinster GAA in particular a bit of a headache.
The integrity of the whole thing, I think, is undermined at this stage, to be honest with you, what's happened, and it just smacks of counties really saying, is this really worthwhile, you know what I mean, in playing it? Anyway, during the week, was it you spoke to Colm O'Rourke?
It was Brendan.
Brendan Cummins spoke to Colm O'Rourke after the midweek game Meath played, and this is what Colm had to say.
I think that the league should be starting a month later, and the Sigurdsson Cup needs to be put before Christmas, and then the competition doesn't start till maybe February of any type, because I think nights like this is not conducive to playing football. So I would like to see the league starting later and the season finishing later. I know that impacts on clubs, but like, the reality is, if you have an All-Ireland in August, 28 or 30 teams are gone by July, it still gives plenty of time for club competition, but I think it's not a good idea playing football in January.
There's Colm O'Rourke, the new Meath manager, speaking to Brendan Cummins during the week after Meath's game in the O'Byrne Cup. I always felt, David, that Colm was most logical about the restructuring of the game and the competitions here. What do you feel about what he had to say there?
Yeah, I think you know, the split season came in. Like, last year was the first year it was in, and the early All-Ireland finals, which a lot of people really railed against because, you know, the September is such a tradition in the GAA and all that kind of stuff. And I think, broadly speaking, I'd certainly be in favour of the split season, and I think it's great for clubs, but it does definitely need to be tweaked. And this situation you have where, and, you know, let's take Meath, for example. Colm O'Rourke there, I think they blooded, they played 31 players over the course of the three matches. They had several players involved in Sigurdsson action, Dara Campion being one during the week who was playing with his college, didn't play for Meath. But Meath have that luxury of being able to switch in players in and out. Other counties don't. So if you have a county with a small panel and you've lads involved in Sigurdsson as well, then you're either overworking the players that you have on heavy pitches in January when the weather is awful, you're picking up injuries, as Offaly did during the week against Dublin and Parnell Park, picked up a couple of knocks, hamstrings and whatnot. So I think that's the real reason that Offaly pulled out, is that it's a player welfare issue. And I think a lot of counties are making their feelings known on this. There's a lot of I think a lot of counties maybe aren't really all about the pre-season competitions. They wouldn't maybe miss them if they went. I know the supporters loved them, and there was a huge crowd in Ashburn on a miserable night on Wednesday watching Meath and a good crowd down in Carlow last week. So I think the fans, especially after Christmas, love getting out and watching games. I know I really enjoy it and seeing new players, but I don't know if county managers and players love it, especially when it's running up against Sigerson. So what Colm said there, if you caught it, was he wanted to see the Sigerson being brought back to before Christmas, that the O'Byrne Cup would start in February, that the league starts a bit later, the championship therefore starts a bit later. And as he said, it would have a bit of a knock-on effect on the clubs. Well, he doesn't think it would impact it that much. But something's definitely going to have to be done. I think a lot of the counties this week, it's hard to say, but I suspect some of them are maybe just in a veiled manner making their feelings known about this competition, pulling out. And as we said, there's no sanctions involved. So Louth were able to give that walkover without any real punishment because they were playing in the semi-final on Sunday, or so we thought. So look, the whole thing has kind of come apart really badly at the beginning of the year, and I think going into next year there's going to have to be a serious look at the calendar and also around, you know, the squads that are taking part in this competition, because maybe they just need, if the Sigerson is going on at the same time, maybe Sigerson players that are involved in third level competitions need to be completely detached from the squad until such time as those competitions are over, and then they get into the league. We'll see.
Let's see what happens. Now let's move quickly on to soccer. The Premier League in full flight again this weekend, and the pick is certainly Manchester United and Man City tomorrow, Spurs and Arsenal on Sunday. Let's talk about the Manchester derby for a start. United are a different proposition under the new manager, that is for sure. And City seem to be wobbling a little bit. Does that suggest the red side of Manchester will be happier come the final whistle tomorrow?
Yeah, do you know what, Sherry? I'm really looking forward to this one because Manchester United are in such great form. It's at Old Trafford. The place is going to be rocking. City have a pretty good record there. They've only lost twice in the last 10 games at Old Trafford, so they're not going to be too cowed by going there. But you know, they're in a little bit of a bad run, as you would say, from City's perspective, or certainly by their standards. They've won four, lost one, drawn one in the league. They obviously were beaten by Southampton during the week, but I think it's nearly suits City going into this game. I won't say they're underdogs going into it, but you know, Manchester United are on the crest of a wave at the moment. They've gotten rid of Ronaldo and all that goes with him. And is it any coincidence that the form has picked up and that Rashford is banging in the goals? Maybe it is, but I would say not. Going to be a really interesting game. 12:30 kickoff tomorrow. I don't know. I think City are gonna stick it to United tomorrow and show them who's boss. It's gonna be a really interesting one. I'm really looking forward to it because United are the best they've been in a long time. But I still think City are going to come away with the win there.
Okay, Spurs Arsenal then 4:30 on Sunday. Arsenal going to the great rivals away for this one. Pundits are tipping Arsenal to win this one. I am not so sure.
Awful record away from home against Tottenham, Arsenal have. They haven't won in the league since 2014. Two of the individuals in play that day are involved on Sunday. You can have a think about who they might be. That was a 1-0 win. Goal from Thomas Rosicki. That'll tell you how long ago that
My
was.
My word.
So a long time ago, early goal that day. That's the last time Arsenal won in the league. They did win in the League Cup in 2015. Matthew Flamini got both goals. So, you know, you're going back a long way for Arsenal's last win at Tottenham. Arsenal, you know, 1-5, drawn one the last six. Drew against Newcastle last day was a fair enough result probably. Spurs had been struggling. Good win over Palace the last time out, 4-0. I don't know. I'm going to go for an Arsenal win. It was Hugo Lloris and Mikel Arteta, incidentally, that were the ones that were involved in 2014. So one on the sideline, one still playing. Going to give Arsenal a nod here, Jerry. But again, going to be a cracking game. Going to be a brilliant atmosphere there, as there always is. Gunners to sneak it 1-0.
The dream is the red shirts to win in those two games, United and the Gunners. That's the dream ticket for an Arsenal fan. Oh, sorry, I've just woken up. Anyway, David Sheehan, thank you very much for joining us as usual.
Pleasure, Jerry.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's David Sheehan, presenter of Sunday Sport, who'll be here in the hot seat on Sunday afternoon. That's a lot on Late Lunch for another week. A big thank you to all our guests who joined us each day. To you, our listeners, we love it that you're there with us each afternoon. Thank you so much to my producer, Louise Walsh. Couldn't do this without her. Except for face masks. But leave that one with me. Leave that one with me. Anyway, Eddie Caffrey's coming next with The Drive here on LMFM Radio. And we'll be back, please God, Monday afternoon at 1:30. Have a lovely weekend. Take care of yourselves. And we'll see you then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.